SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. A beautiful winter morning here in upstate New York. And just minutes ago, literally as we were coming on the air, just getting word out of New York and out of Philadelphia, out of Parks, there's a herpes outbreak at Parks, and so New York horses are not they're not going to let Parks horses come to New York, and you've got basically a quarantine situation. So that just literally a minutes ago piece of news, and we'll get more for next week. But the first. I guess every winter, and whenever you get horses being shipped around, the potential. But this is usually it's a little bit later in the winter, but it can happen obviously anytime. So we'll get next week. We'll get an update on that, and probably get Dr. Alday in for his first 2019 visit. Horse health. Today, and he explains it as well or better than anybody. But if you were thinking of going down with your horse to Philly, you can't. If you do, if you're not coming back until this thing is lifted. We actually have we've got our mare, Just Enough Hope, but she's staying down there. She ran so well the other day. It was really heartening on Tuesday. Although, you know, looking back at it, she swapped leads a couple of times. And so we'll see. But wanted to let people let them know about that. And we'll dive into a lot of handicapping and a lot of the news from overnight. And after we got off the air yesterday, the biggest piece of news, and I won't get too far into it, I'll just let Darren Rogers and Marty McGee, actually, who are guests in this first hour, let them talk about it. But Churchill Downs, as part of their spring schedule announcement, as they laid out the calendar, they also announced an increase for the Derby purse and the Oaks and for the Turf Classic. Significant increases, and the Derby in particular, a $1 million boost to $3 million, and it's very appropriate, and some would say overdue. In fact, we discussed this a tiny bit last year coming out of Derby because a number of Kentucky-based stakeholders had been voicing suggestion and an urging that the purse, which hadn't been adjusted in 14 years, 2005, the last time when it went from $1 million to $2 million. And, you know, given the Derby's importance, it makes sense that the purse be, you know, on an appropriate level with, you know, the biggest races of the year, not just here, but anywhere. It was disproportionately low. And then when you realize that $1 million worth of the purse is generated by the entry fees, you know, $50,000 to pass the entry box times 20 horses. So this is certainly appropriate. And we'll talk to Darren and we'll get some more details, because the Oaks gets a boost, as does the Turf Classic and a few other races on specifically on the Derby Day card, like the Yamana Distaff, the Grade One, kicked from 300,000 to 500,000, including three other Derby Day events that got kicked up 100,000. the foster got a raise, etc. So a lot of this in part to the Derby City Gaming Center that has been a smashing success. So we'll talk to Darren, and it's a good time anyway, beginning of the year, to catch up with Big D, Derby Media, and you know what? I'll ask him that question that came up yesterday with Rich Ang just minutes ago. If you were listening to the replay, the you know, the Derby future and what the advent of widespread sports betting and specifically Johnny Avello's future prices, if that you know might move things along, might push the peanut a little bit. For those that aren't in position to make future book wagers on the internet or in sports betting jurisdictions. So, Darren Rogers, and I mentioned Marty. Marty wrote the piece that took the news and weaved it into the story. But we're talking to Marty mostly about what's going on down at Gulfstream and nice pair of stakes, the Marshalls River and the tropical turf, the return of Heart to Heart. I put a picture of him up, a picture I took last winter, maybe even the winter before. I can't even remember when I took that picture, but it makes me smile with Heart to Heart's big white heart on his forehead and a picture of Brian Lynch saddling him. He returns, and a few other. There's three maiden races, three maiden specials that are worth looking at as well. And Marty will provide an update on mostly the Pegasus. There hasn't been a lot of movement on the Pegasus field on the dirt. That has been pretty steady, and pretty much know what's happening, waiting for McKinsey decisions. But the turf race is evolving and morphing. So we'll get the latest from Marty McGee. Nick Tamaro is going to join us. Nick, a late gate scratch yesterday, last week, I should say. And so we'll get Nick in here, and we're going to start. I want to start this series, and we're going to do a lot of this in coming weeks and months. The kind of handicapping and wagering nuts and bolts. And I'm going to rely a lot on Nick for this weekly, and we'll pick races and we'll pick sequences. If it's a sequence conversation, we're going to talk about the double tomorrow in New York. There's a outstanding, unbelievable allowance that goes ahead of the stake tomorrow. A 1 mile, four and up, first level allowance, 11 entered, and even if a couple of them come out, it is arguably one of the best races of Saturday. Features the return of House Limit, who of course in December was just a smashing winner, and there's speed though that is signed on, and he will not have as easy a time of it as he did in that maiden win. So, and he's also, you know, not that the weight in this case, I mean, the weight spread is insignificant. They're mostly carrying 121 and 123. But this is a really good group. And then it feeds into the Safe Florida Sandy, the 7/8 New York bred 4+ group that is headed by Gold for the King, the nice Charlie Baker. Multiple stake winner, and there's plenty of others, including Celtic Chaos and Syndergaard and Michelle Nevin, who's got Honor Up, best form of his career. We're going to have Nick discuss doubles and how to weight your wager. Prioritize, whether it's ABC or however you prioritize selections, and then building the ticket, and you know, instead of having everything weighed equally, taking the horses that you like best within your own selection process, and if it comes that way, being in a position to really leverage and to really cash, you know, as opposed to, you know, 3x2, and even if it's a $5 exacta or double box, Nick's going to explain how to heavy up on your best opinion and then feather out from there, you know, the other possibilities. We're going to do that weekly. Clip and save or take notes. Yesterday, unfortunately, that wind, and the wind was a specter going into the racing at Aqueduct yesterday, and it looked for a while like they were going to get through it, and then the wind got to the point where the jocks were not comfortable, and they pulled up, and the late portion of the card was scuttled, and really frustrating, no doubt. And I know a lot of people were. It seemed like every single person was live, by the way, in the pick five and the pick six. Or if they were live, they wanted to make sure to point out that why should everybody get a refund? Those are the rules. The rules cannot. It's one of those scenarios where you can't satisfy, you know, every potentiality within the scope of a cancellation at that point. It's not enough that you get your money back. You want to figure out a way to penalize the people who missed the first leg. The human nature part of this equation was really on full display yesterday. The carryovers kick into today, and I don't know. I didn't have a chance to get into it too deeply, but it looks and felt like a tougher sequence even than yesterday. And that included big fields in the nightcap and the feature, the state bred allowance with a field of 11, and then a state bred maidens field of 11. This, I don't know. It's also, of course, Friday, so you've got the Stronach pick five too to consider. It starts at Laurel at 4:35 with the ninth race and Nickel Claimer. Then it goes down to Gulfstream. Six furlongs for 30,000 types. That maiden special we talked about the other day with Richard Baltus. He's got See That Cat. That's the mile and an eighth turf race, which has got horses that were meant to have already broken their maiden. Then a maiden 50 at Gulfstream in the 10th. Chad Brown with a firster. Confidence level. A little late getting to the races, but working nicely. And then the nightcap is a 20,000 non-winners of two, going a mile on the synthetic at Golden Gate Fields. Got some interesting things to talk about later. Scully, DeRosa, Quigley, Hammer, much, much more. Back after this, Darren Rogers.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, Express Bet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey, hang up the phone. You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
On a different road, I'm in the Milky Way. You want me down on Earth, but I am up in space. You're so damn hard to please. We gotta kill this switch. You're from the 70s, but I'm a 90s bitch. I love it! I love it!
We're back at the races. Coming up on 20, and I love it when we get a guest in like Don Little Jr. from Centennial Farm, and we talk not only about the winners like Mijos, who won the Mucho Macho Man, but we got around to some of the other horses he's campaigning and the partners are involved in, and we got to Mints. And that was pretty good yesterday. You know, we were all focused on the Pick 5 and the Naira Betts Pick 5 carryover, and there was the four-year-old that had made just the one start, the Candy Ride, certainly bred to be a nice horse by Mike Abraham, who's a breeding finalist for an Eclipse, breeder of Accelerate, and Mintz was really good. And that was a fun race, that maiden special, that started the Pick 5 sequence. And as we discussed yesterday, the morning line favorite didn't make any sense in that field. A horse that, you know, had run okay and put up a couple of 70 buyers at the beginning of last year in the winter at Tampa. I don't get it. That horse goes off at a little over even money, and it didn't make any sense. Not with the Two Good Lynches and with Mintz and Master Distiller. And he was, the favorite was dismal and, you know, up the track. Meanwhile, Mintz, Dylan Davis gave him a terrific ride and very confident. And, I thought at one point, Iona Moby, who Seth liked, right? Iona Moby looked like a winner and just started to get a little late, you know, a little weary, late in the game. And, managed, though, to hold off Master Distiller, who was, you know, doggedly coming with Eric Cancel. But $14 for the Centennial winner. Starts his four-year-old season and could still, I didn't check a figure yet this morning, but starts his, gets his maiden win and starts his four-year-old season the right way. And Jimmy Jerkins, of course, as we had talked. So that was cool. And a lot of people, a lot of listeners, based on the Twitter and email response, went to town, including Smokin' Joe. But that's, you know, that's why we do it. That's why we have those conversations. And you, and the nice thing is you're getting, you know, you get, I think you get, you know, very frank responses from the horsemen. Aside from what went on in New York, and of course, you know, there was that gate scratch of the favorite in the first leg of the pick six. Now, of course, none of this meant anything because it's all going to, they're going to do it all again today. But, was happy for Jim Catterbone and for Gary that Call the Cat ended up being a beneficiary and ran a terrific race, actually, to win. So that was nice. At Santa Anita, while we wait for Darren, we're trying to scare Darren up, there was a winner. I got to mention, you know, there are a couple of maiden races there, and I got to mention the maiden winner from the third race. Yesterday, did you see that group going a mile, the three-year-old fillies? And there was the very short-priced favorite for Peter Urton, and Slew Good to Be True, a Jimmy Creed. And what made me kind of look twice and do some research, a South Carolina bred. A South Carolina bred. And according to the Jockey Club fact book, that crop, that group that this filly comes from, she's one of only 29 horses that were bred and registered with the Jockey Club as having been bred in South Carolina. And of course, South Carolina's got a tremendous equine history and just a tradition. So it's kind of cool. But I mean, how many? You know, there's only a handful, you know, a few dozen every year. Jim Brinkley bred Slew Good to Be True. Another oddity, slight oddity in this was that the six horses finished in pari-mutuel order. Yeah, 1-2, 7-2, 7-2, 18-1, 27-1, 28-1. Just the betting public couldn't have gotten it more right. But that was fun. And Gary Sherlock, happy. He's got that nice filly. Show it and mow it. And the cowbred, now four, she started her year right with that allowance. With that allowance win, it was a non-winners of a sweepstake. She won well. She beat S.Y. Sky, who was the 70-cent favorite. And she actually went off 2-1. In fact, I think Rich Eng went to show it and mow it as an alternative to the favorite. Well, one of our favorite visitors, as we segue into the conversations, weekend preview. But the news that came yesterday with the Churchill Spring schedule being announced, a major purse bump for the Kentucky Derby. Darren Rogers joins us, Derby Media. Happy New Year, Big D.
Happy New Year, Steve. How are you, pal?
Outstanding. And is sort of a piece of news that was kind of expected. There was a little bit of chatter about a purse bump last year, and so in some ways I think this was not unexpected.
Yeah, we hinted about it on your radio show on Breeders' Cup week. We were talking about the influx of purses that we had for the fall meet, you know, about a 20% increase. The maiden special weights last fall, $76,000. The allowance races were insane, you know, $80,000 to $90,000. And all these increases are attributed to the early returns we've had from the historical racing machines over at Derby City Gaming, about 5 miles from Churchill down to the old Trackside Louisville location. That's where we have the historical racing machines, and that opened up in mid September, and as a result, with the the handle being generated over there, that the purses in 2019, we're going to be able to supercharge them an additional $10 million in the initial year of operation, directly as a result of the handle over there. So it's tremendous for the horsemen, for the 2019 spring meet, in addition to the, the increase in the Kentucky Derby. But, we were able to raise the purses in 14 other stakes races. We added two others. And there's going to be more than $30 million in total prize money over the 38-day meet. $12 million in stakes, another $18 million in overnight races. Ben Huffman, I know, is finishing that first condition book right now. Should be going to the printer soon. So I think we'll see that first condition book, in early February. But, if you compare it to last year, when we gave away, $22.2 million, total throughout the meet, and to know that we're going to be north of $30 million, that's tremendously exciting for the horsemen, for the racing fans, because that it's going to attract a quality product.
Well, and you had already been a beneficiary, the racing and the interest level from horsemen, not just from the East either. The horsemen that stabled any number of places expressing interest in sending horses in, and we'll know more obviously, later in the winter when Ben starts to sift through stall apps, but anecdotally, we heard Todd Pletcher with the a full string again there. Chad Brown for the first time expected to send a string. So it clearly, the great John Parada line that lives forever, which is horses follow money, and
absolutely they do. They've always followed money, and that's what's exciting, is that we've had steady growth in available prize money in recent years, and the surplus now from Derby City Gaming's historical racing machines really is making it exciting. I mean, Kentucky racing, not just here at Churchill Downs, but the overall Kentucky circuit right now is very steady and healthy, and it's it's gratifying to see these top horses and horsemen being able to race for some exciting and meaningful prize money.
Well, the part of this that and comment came up on my website, and I made the point, Darren, people may not understand the purse structure, but it's $50,000 for entrance to pass the entry box, and so there's $1 million right there. So it's not inappropriate that given the handle on the day and the weekend and in fact the whole week and everything that comes with it, it makes sense. I mean, and when you think about the Breeders' Cup Classic, and of course, however trumped up and goofy the purse structure is for Pegasus and the Dubai World Cup, I mean, arguably the Derby's a bigger race than any of those, and so for its purse to have a big number and a lot of zeros is appropriate.
Yeah, Derby Week, as Steve, you've been following for the last decade. We've had steady growth from an overall business standpoint over the last decade with the Derby, and with us being able to fuel even more money into Derby Week, we hope to continue that growth, and we're going to have 18 stakes races on Derby Week this year, more than about $9.6 million. So you've got the seven on Derby Day. That's worth six million plus, the six on Oaks Day. But we also have a pair of stakes now on the Thurby program, Thursday program. And then we'll have a stakes race on Tuesday and Wednesday. Ben Huffman created two new stakes. One of those is the $90,000 added Champions Day Marathon overnight stakes going a mile and a half on the dirt. That'll be run on Tuesday. Of course, you've got the 2-year-olds that Wesley Ward is always participating in the $100,000 Kentucky Juvenile going 5 furlongs on the dirt. That's on Wednesday. A couple of stakes on Thursday, the Unbridled Sydney, which is now used to be an overnight stake. That's now in a firm stake for $100,000 for the Phillies and Mares going 5.5 on the turf. And then on that Thursday undercard, you've got the opening verse, which is always usually a stepping stone to the wise Dan on Stephen Foster night. In addition to the great Oaks and Derby Day programs, we're really trying to build the overall week. It's a tremendous, week-long festival here when you're here at Churchill Downs, but trying to reinvigorate interest nationwide.
I want to point out one race as part of this, this set of purse boosts, and the history of the Derby trial. And if we think back to the renaming of the Derby trial to the Pat Day and the moving of the race and the hand-wringing and the carrying on that accompanied that. A quick history going back 40, 50 years when the race was worth $50,000 in the 80s and wasn't graded. And then it became a grade 3 in 85 and it was worth $50,000 and $75,000 and then $100,000. It lost its grading in 2005, got it back in 2009. It was still a $100,000 race. When they run it this year, it's going to be $400,000. So the way in which the Derby trial, which was laying like a goldfish out of the bowl, has been reinvented into a major race, and you would only expect that that kind of a purse level is only going to further enhance the interest. I think the Pat Day deserves a mention out of this whole set of announcements.
Well, and I remember how excited Ben Huffman was to try that, to move it. And there was some hand-wringing internally. I remember our late great friend John Asher was one of those like, oh boy, you've got the great history with the Derby trial. This is a bold move, but Ben wanted to make that bold move. It was no longer a trial for the Derby, and he thought by moving it to Derby Day, he could raise the purse or invigorate it a little bit, and he's been able to do that, and the interest has been there. Let's face it, there are a number of three-year-olds that are brilliant, that are not up to the longer distances, and this one-mile, one-turn race worth $400,000 is a tremendous racing opportunity. And I think we've seen that around the country with, a number of other three-year-old races that are sprint, 7/8 to a mile oriented that are having top prize money. I mean, you can have a nice three-year-old go the Pat Day Mile, the Woody Stevens, a number of other races like that. Mm-hmm. I know Ben was excited about it when we did it, and it's lived up to it because we've had none of the full fields every year.
Well, and when you start getting into this range at $400,000, it was $300,000 mm-hmm. last year, $250,000 the two prior, $200,000 in 2015, $150,000 and $175,000 in 2014 and 2013. So it basically has more than doubled, in less than a decade. And promises fulfilled is probably the interesting horse to bring up with this. And Dale Romans, when I discussed it with him at some point, you know, Dale has argued that they would still run in the Derby no matter what with him, and that they don't regret doing it at all. But you know, there's plenty of horses. I mean, look at the way things turned over the course of the year for Firenze Fire, and you know, even though Ron Lombardi was absolutely, you know, dedicated to running in the Derby, and, you know, you look back at it, and both of those horses probably were, you know, were more likely, you know, Pat Day Mile candidates. Maybe this kind of a purse directs some horses more toward that than going a bridge too far in the Derby.
I don't know. You qualify for that Kentucky Derby.
You're not convinced. All right.
It's funny. I don't have that stat in front of me, Steve. But if you go back and you look at the charts of the Derby, say the last 20 years, of the horse that was on the lead at the half-mile pole in the Kentucky Derby over the last 20 years, a large number of them, I can't remember what it is, but let's just say 40, 50% of them, like a Promises Fulfilled, have gone on to grade one glory in sprints down the road.
Yeah.
It's really interesting if you look back at it.
Yeah,
so that doesn't
bird.
Surprise yep. me, but you know, you take that shot in the Derby, it doesn't mean that you can't become a grade one sprinter if that distance and task is a little too daunting. Great horses are great horses, and they end up, you know, showing their talents down the road.
Well, this is a terrific set of changes and purse enhancements, and as we start to really get serious the next few weeks, Darren, the LeCompte coming, and the Smarty Jones, the Withers, the Holy Bull, etc. Over the next 3-4 weeks, the release of John Avello, it came up yesterday with Rich Eng. Johnny Avello coming out with a Derby future list of close to 300. Any thoughts from the mothership about the sports betting landscape and how it might influence the approach to the Derby future pools?
Well, you know, here we're operating business as usual here at the mothership here at Churchill Downs, the racetrack proper. We've got, pools 2, 3, and 4 on the horizon. That'll be coming up after the release of the Triple Crown nominations. It's always great to see lists like Johnny Avello's list. Fans out there like to see, you know, who are the prospects, which ones are potentially taking money, which ones aren't. So that's always a great thing. From a personal standpoint right now, Steve, they've got a lot of catching up to do, because to me it's the soon-to-be champ Game Winner and Maximus Mischief to me look pretty clear at this stage. They've got a lot of – the others have a lot of catching up to do.
Well, what is our next – when is our next pool?
You know, I don't have the calendar right in front of me, but I believe it is, I think, February 8th, 9th, and 10th. Does that
I think
like
so,
Friday,
too.
Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, I think that's right, and because
so
we're going to be in Vegas.
Yeah, we'll release the Triple Crown nominations before that. They're going to be due on the Saturday of the Pegasus. That's when the Triple Crown early noms are due. The racing office will, you know, scour through all that information, get the ducks in a row. We should be able to release it on Monday of that week that I was speaking of the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And so we'll come up with the lineup of horses for Pool 2, and fans can dive in. It's that time of year already.
Absolutely. Well, as always, it's always Derby season, from emanating from your office, and that was a nice piece of news, and a lot of good, you know, a lot of good decisions, distribution of purse monies to the big weekend and through to everything else trickling down, Foster Day as well, Foster up to 600, etc.
Yep.
Darren, I appreciate it, and we'll start to check in regularly.
Happy New Year to you and Tina, and Kentucky Racing is the place to be right now.
Absolutely. Big D, Derby Media, follow Darren. Don't miss out, Darren. And you should follow Kevin Kirstein, too. And of course, KK's got to be completely, like me, immersed in EAGLES. But you got to be excited about your boys with the star on the helmet.
Sir, who won the NFC East? What was that team's name again?
I nobody cares about the divisional winners now.
Oh, that's right. The Dallas Cowboys.
And
by the way, we have a home game in Los Angeles on Saturday night. So
easy. Hammer's going to be there.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I will bet you right now, 50% of that crowd will be wearing Cowboys jerseys.
Well, that's sad. All right.
Anyway, hey, not that has any factor on the outcome, by the way. I'm just happy to be where we're at right now.
All right, we may have to get a special visit in if there's going to be an Eagles Cowboys championship game.
I would love that.
A reprise of 1980. Wilbert Montgomery going for 170 yards.
Hey, either way, from your lips to God's ears, I'll take another week. That would be great. Let's have another conversation next Friday. I love it.
That's what we'll do.
Happy New Year, pal.
Thanks, Darren. Big D, Darren Rogers, folks. Let's take a break. Marty McGee down in Florida. We'll talk Pegasus and more with Marty next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's dancing behind movie scenes, behind the movie scenes. Sadie Rani, she's the one that keeps the dream alive from the morning past the evening.
we're back at the races.
Give you a little brimful of Marty. Marty McGee joins us. Marty, good morning. We just had Darren Rogers, and before we launch into the latest Pegasus news, you wrote the story up about the purse increase in the Derby, and we went over the nuts and bolts with Darren, but some thoughts from you, reaction?
Well, I mean, if you've got $9 million for the Pegasus, used to be 16 or 12 or whatever, and the Derby's 3, Breeders' Cup Classic is 6, Dubai World Cup is what, 10?
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, they're getting in line, finally. They're nearing it anyway. Although the Derby, obviously, is such a different animal, Steve. I mean, guys would win the Derby and gladly accept a check for, you know, 50 cents, you know, if they could win the Derby. So it's kind of a non-issue, really, in terms of, you know, if it should be $5 million or $8 or whatever you want to make it, three now. So the Derby's the Derby. And I think it's good of them to have done it. You know, there was a lot of news in that, you know, for us everyday guys, in that release they put out in terms of what they've done to the overall spring stakes schedule. The Oaks going to 1.25 million, the, what do they call it now? Not the Woodford, but the, what's the other whiskey they've named it for? Old Forester. The Old Forester.
Old Forester, there you go. Which is made in Louisville.
Yeah.
I think it was, right, made in Louisville.
Well, or maybe Bardstown. I don't know where it's made. But, you know, that's been doubled to $1 million, and they got the Humana Distaff went from 300 to 500, and the Foster went to 600. So I guess Churchill, I don't know if Darren said this or not, but I guess they're making a lot of money at that place on Poplar Level Road, the new Derby City Gaming, where they're, it's as opposed to other, I guess, as opposed to other entities throughout the country whereby the casinos fuel the slots. Looks like a bigger percentage of their profits from there are going straight to the purse account. So that's good.
Well, and of course I brought it up with Darren. You know, the first $1 million in that Derby purse is the entry fees. 50,000 times 20. I mean, they already have $1 million in the pool. You know, to pay out based on entries before there's any contribution from the house. So
I guess there's that, and plus, you know, you have the Triple Crown nominating fees. I don't know what percent of those go to the
Derby.
That's
a good question. Good question.
You know, and also, if you look up the Derby purse, it's never $2 million or rarely over the last 14 years because you have the guys who have paid supplemental fees. For instance, last year when Justify won, I wrote this. It was like close to $2.2 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of the extra money goes straight to the winner and doesn't get cut up among everybody else. But anyway, you know, again, who really cares what the people care, but the Derby is the Derby no matter what.
Well, I can tell you that last year, during the lead-up and even on Derby Day with some discussions, a couple of major stakeholders apparently had been, you know, kind of beating this drum that the Derby needed to get more in line with the biggest, you know, purses of the sport internationally, and that frankly that $5 million would be a more appropriate pot for a race of its stature. And it's not an unreasonable, you know, not an unreasonable suggestion. I had never really, like you, I do understand and appreciate, you know, how important the race is just from a you know, achievement and life goal and ambition, but it should have the same, it should be on the same level as the most important races internationally.
I agree. The $5 million is a nice even round number that would suit it. Don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the Preakness, $2 million, and the Belmont, $3 million. And the, so a $10 million triple crown purse structure. And they should also get the bonus back. They need a sponsor again, like Visa, and get that bonus back alive to motivate people to run in all three legs.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
All right, I'll work on that after the show. Let's, Mart, let's talk about what's going on with Pegasus. There's the field is pretty static for the dirt race. We're just waiting for the McKenzie shoe to drop. But the turf race is getting a lot of attention, and it needs some attention because it's a short field, although it feels like maybe it's starting to gain some momentum. What's the latest?
Yeah, I'm waiting for an update later today. I'm actually working on that today. We've got riders for everybody in the main race, the $9 million Pegasus. I can run them down if you want.
But, go ahead, sure.
Accelerate, Rosario, Bravazo, Luis Saez, City of Light, Castellano, with an asterisk there. Gunavera is Irad. Kukulcan is Frankie Dettori. Pattern Recognition for Chad is Jose Ortiz. Seeking the Soul for Dallas, Johnny B. Something Awesome is Prado. True Timber is Bravo. Tom's Etat, Bridge Mahan. Mike Smith would ride McKenzie if he runs, and the horse I left out, obviously, is Audible. Castellano, his agent, John Panagot, told us a couple days ago that, and so did Michael McCarthy. Don't call him Whitey. City of Light is Castellano sided with him, and so Todd, I sent a second text this morning to Todd Fletcher. They are still waiting to be determined on a jockey for Audible. I was going to ask you this. I don't know how often they ride Smith, but I maybe they're waiting on a decision from Baffert. If McKenzie doesn't run, maybe they would pick up Smith. I don't know, but that's just me speculating. That might be completely, out of line, but I'm just looking for some other names on here who would ride. But anyway, that's where we stand. We're waiting on an Audible decision, and I guess they're waiting on McKenzie. But now we're up to 7 on the Pegasus turf: Aerolith, Bricks and Mortar, Catapult, Delta Prince, Magic One, Next Shares, and Yoshida. And I would imagine that over the next few days, they're going to fill that up no matter what. It's like somebody, maybe I saw it on Twitter or somewhere, but if it takes 5 more $25,000 claimers to fill up this field, they will do it. And again, we talked about this last week. If it didn't coincide with the off season for the Europeans, it seems like this would be a lot better race.
Is there potential, as we kind of segue into the weekend's racing, is there potential for anybody to maybe spin out of the tropical turf on Saturday? I know it's a mile, but is there anybody that has basically expressed that they could use this as a jumping off point?
Gosh, I hadn't even thought of that. I guess the only logical horse would be the horse who's going to be odds on. That's Heart to Heart, and I don't know if they want mile 3/16 is pushing it for him. So I'm going to say no on that.
All right, I just I'm intrigued. I mean, since we're on the tropical turf, let's talk about it. Heart to Heart. I put that picture up of you and also Heart to Heart this morning, and Brian Lynch brings him back. And of course, last year the only American based turf runner to win 2 Grade Ones, the Gulfstream Park Turf and the Maker's Mark, and he starts his 8-year-old campaign in this spot. One of the more intriguing participants in here, Mr. Freeze, for Dale Romans, and last seen in the Pennsylvania Derby and won the West Virginia Derby, back Ian Isbister, and I thought that his presence kind of raised an eyebrow.
Yeah, it does. Heart to Heart, though, this is by far the easiest race he's been in quite some time. But you have to go back to his to March almost 2 years ago, the last time he ran in anything less than a grade two, so this being a grade three tomorrow. So I imagine he'll pay about $3 if he wins. If he's had a few problems, occasional things about getting away a half step slow, but if he gets away smooth under Leperoux, he ought to dominate this race. As far as Mr. Freeze, I know that Dale had been looking for a spot for him. He's a three other than, and Dale's been wanting to run him, and just couldn't find a spot. I don't know if he'll actually start in here. Might scratch, might have helped fill the field a little bit, but you know, the fact that he's running on turf against such a seasoned pro with Heart to Heart, you'd have to think he's in a tough spot.
The other horse that could provide at least some pace intrigue is White Flag, the stretch out candidate for Christophe Clément, and he's got the speed inside Heart to Heart to beat him to the turn, and I gotta expect that White Flag will be prominent here early. I also, you know, if you're looking for upset candidates, what's wrong with Dr. Mounty?
Well, both White Flag and Vici, to his inside, are basically turf sprinters.
Sprinters, yeah.
So they both could, but I don't think that's going to be a problem for, I mean, Heart to Heart has shown before that he can, you know, when he ran that big race in the Shoemaker last May at Santa Anita, he rated off the pace pretty nicely. So, you know, that's who's going to close, though? I mean, if they all three go, they go
Dr. Mounty.
In 45. Well, there you go. Or
Dr. Mounty, baby.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not that good of a race, to be honest. It's not that good of a grade three, honestly.
Well, then let's turn our attention maybe the Lynch's horse, La Signore, the French bred in the Marshall's River. You got Bellevase, who's now been with Todd Pletcher for a couple of starts. Not a bad group for the Marshall's River.
Yeah, it's more competitive because, like, the other race isn't that good because it looks like a horse that's going to pay $2.80 or $3 is going to win it. But, you know, and it's not that big of a field either. This race, I thought that I asked Jay Stone, who makes the line here at Gulfstream, what'd you do with this race? Because they all look pretty even. There's about maybe six out of the eight are real logical in here. I'm Betty G's going to have to get back on form. But you got a horse like the Kelly Breen-trained Valedictorian, the Jersey bred, whose buyers and whose recent form really match up with the others. And Tyler Gaffleone is on, and I think he rides as good as anybody around here. So if she can rate off the pace, I think Valedictorian has a good shot. Bellevase is going to round into form for Pletcher. And, you know, I think those are the two in there.
Let's also touch on the maiden races. There's three maiden specials tomorrow. The first of them being fillies going six on the dirt. Group of 10. Rusty Arnold sending out, I think, the 2-1. No, there's two. 9-5 for Pletcher, Lavish, and High Road is 2-1 for Rusty. You look at the fillies going long on the grass, going the one-turn mile. The Beautiful Lover is a half-sister of Zevo. And Chad Brown sends out Beautiful Lover. And then take a look at that 10th race, Mart. This is 6 furlongs for the boys. And Gary and Mary West have got their homebred by Tappet with Jason Service making a first-time start. Brainstorm, certainly nicely bred. And Chad has got the Union Rags for Bill Lawrence. No Rules out of Elizani, the Jerry and Ann Moss stake winner. So you got some pedigrees. I thought the three maiden races were a little murky, though. There wasn't a whole lot to grab a hold of.
Now, there are a couple of horses in that 10th race you're talking about, which, of course, is going to be a key race as a link between the two stakes and all the end-of-the-card multis. By the way, we start at 11:45 Eastern here tomorrow because we need all the daylight we can get for a 12-race card. But there are horses in there who ran big first time out, including the Camgo, the one horse in there for Navarro, who continues to win. You know, he's actually leading the standings there, Steve. So it's what Todd has won 14 or 15 in a row as leading trainer here, but it's that's in jeopardy right now. But the horse for Efren Loza, Geoscience number 6, also ran a big race over at the old Calder last time out as a favorite. So that's a very interesting race, race 10 here tomorrow.
Well, and of course, coming off of last week, we had we talked about those stakes, and it was Mijos for Jimmy Jerkins and Centennial. We talked to Don Little Jr. We talked to David Fox as well about Seismic Jolt, who looks to have real upside. And how about Ben Colebrook with Fancy Dress Party? Our friend Leon Seidler as well, Casa Creed, wins the Kitten's Joy. And Eddie Keneally, Magically Delicious, he wins with Boxwood.
Yeah, I talked to Ben Colebrook. He is not going to run Fancy Dress Party in the race here on February 2nd, the Forward Gal. He's going to use another horse of his who just broke her maiden last weekend at Tampa. That filly's had three races pretty quick succession, so he's going to wait, try and decide whether or not to stretch her out in the next race here or what he's going to do with it. But anyway, he's got... I wrote a little something today for Tampa. It'll be in the Sunday form about a couple of his other horses. Nick's Go is on target. And the old hard knocker, Limousine Liberal, back in Kentucky, doing good. They're going to run him, try and run him again to start off in April at FEMA.
Well, Mark, second Saturday weekend, basically, of 2019. We're starting to pick up some momentum and things building up to the Holy Bull. Certainly looking forward on the three-year-old front. But in the meantime, Pegasus really the big, literally big, on the horizon. So we'll keep tracking.
Looming huge, literally and figuratively.
Exactly. And you know, Jay, you mentioned Jay Stone. Jay had a winner at Gulfstream the other day, right? He's a partner with somebody I saw.
They trained for Kathy Ritvo trained for him, and he's Dean Reeves' right-hand man. So that must have been what you're talking about.
No, he was, but he was on the ownership line.
You sure that's him, though?
Maybe it's a different Jay Stone. I mean, it's a fairly, I guess maybe comp. But I saw the name and I wondered if it was Jay.
I'll get back to you on that while you're working on 10 million for your triple crown.
Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee, DRF Live, and of course the man behind Hermes selections at Tampa, and we're looking forward. I think we're going to make that Tampa trip happen. By the way, Marty, with you.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right. Marty McGee, we'll talk to him next week. We'll take a break right here, top of the hour. Nick Tamaro standing by, and we'll get to Nick. We're going to do some, not just handicapping, we're going to do some nuts and bolts, some internal structure discussion about how to approach doubles. And we're going to use the 7th and 8th from tomorrow's card at Aqueduct as the template. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.